I got called that the night of the incident, and you know, it was clear that this was a very devastating situation. So a lot of folks were deployed from all over the state. I came down from Dallas and arrived in the area to our operations center at about 2 o'clock in the morning. There was very little to know at that time. The area had already been evacuated, cordoned off, and certainly that difficult process of trying to ascertain where things are in the dark of night makes it a real challenge.
Numerically, what's the Red Cross presence like now as we're talking Friday afternoon?
Well, it's always an interesting thing to see, and the way the Red Cross and their activity ramps up. So we were early on the scene. By the time just after the incident, we had 4 vehicles on the ground, you know, dozens of volunteers in place, staffers coming in from Dallas-Fort Worth to the north, Waco, and Austin to the south. And it just ramps up every day. Out at the community center today and this afternoon, you're seeing a whole different level of activity out there as the Red Cross and their partners like HEB start to come together to create our fixed feeding and kitchens that will allow us to feed literally thousands and thousands and thousands of meals every day. And that's going to be particularly important as the neighborhoods are opened up and as folks are able to get back in and start working on their homes and doing cleanup. Large numbers of people will need to be fed, and they'll need supplies, and they'll need other things that'll improve that recovery process.
Again, we're visiting Friday afternoon a little bit after 2 o'clock. I'm guessing authorities still have a search and rescue mode going on, and that immediate blast zone is still cordoned off to the outside.
Yeah, the authorities have really been doing the right thing, and I know it's so frustrating for everyone, certainly for the homeowner and the people who live in that area. It's difficult for agencies that want to respond, like the Red Cross and others, but it's really a very delicate process, and they're really doing it right. They're taking it, you know, building by building, door by door. You know, that is the proper way, and it's just what you have to do. And I know it's frustrating to have to wait because you want to know, and not knowing is very difficult. So once that is opened up, then there's a kind of a second layer of impact to that. You had the initial shock of something that happens the way it did. If that had been a tornado, you'd have had some warning. If it was a hurricane, you would have warning. But an explosion like this, you just don't know it's coming. And so it's shocking, and it really can be disconcerting. Now you've been away from your home, you're going to come back in, you don't know what it looks like, you don't know the condition on it, and people are going to be really impacted by what they see, and that's where the Red Cross will be on the ground with our psychological care workers who are out help people who have helped others go through difficult and tragic situations like this.
And this period, while everyone who's been directly affected has been waiting, I'm guessing that the Red Cross just continues to plan to be prepared to execute when the time comes that the blockades come down.
Right. Our full-blown disaster operations center is coming online here in West as we speak. And, you know, it's just the amount of workers and activities just come in waves and waves. We'll bring in a remote vehicle that connects all of our computers to our central computer system. You know, we'll be connected directly into the switchboard and the phones in Washington, D.C. So, you know, the level of numbers of people, the level of sophistication, equipment, and activities just ramp up as we start to meet those needs as people start to get into the recovery mode.
And based on my past exposure to experiences, Red Cross not only has paid staff, but just scores of volunteers from around the country. If they're not already there, I'm sure they're on their way.
They are. The Red Cross is an organization that's made up of over 90% volunteers. So today, you know, staffers that will come in from Dallas-Fort Worth, from Austin, but we've got volunteers and staff coming in from all across the United States. One of the workers that I'm working with today is here from Indianapolis. So people come in from all over. Everybody comes in, they're trained very specifically in a job, and it's really a fascinating thing to watch because, you know, you meet and work with people that you've never met before, but they all know their job, and it all starts to come together. Now, you know, we've got our rough spots. Everybody does. You know, you get a lot of challenges thrown at you, things that don't go the way that you would expect, but they've got the experience and the knowledge to overcome those obstacles and move the recovery effort forward.
Which was leading right into my next observation is that everyone has to be nimble and flexible enough to change with whatever happens.
Yes, they do. And a lot of that comes from, you know, the government resources that you're working with. And, you know, just, you know, really hats off to the mayor here in West. Very active, very engaged. Today, two United States senators from Texas here and Congressman Williams. So, you know, the government's paying attention, but the local resources that are on the ground here in this town really are doing an extraordinary job of dealing with an extraordinary effort or and problem that's hit their town.
And then while all this is going on, there has to be a personal, I don't want to say a personal toll, but obviously you're absorbing everything. And how are you as an individual dealing with not only what your responsibilities are at the Red Cross, but also you're taking all this in internally as well?
Right. Well, as a Texan, as I explained to our friends who come in from other parts of the United States, it's different here, and that's in a very good way because it's just amazing the way Texans are so resilient, and it really is something I think in the DNA of people who live here. And, you know, when the day after the explosion, there are people who had likely lost everything, and they went back to work. You know, and they said that they were just people out of state. They were just like, wow. I said, that's just how they do it here. You know, that's Texas. So there's a great resiliency for the volunteers, the people that do it day in, day out. You know, it's heads down, move forward, focus on the task. But at all the time, we're looking at, you know, how are we affected by this? Because we know how difficult this is for the people who have lost their homes or lost loved ones. And we're there to support them, and they're the first job. But we take care of ourselves, too. We're trained in psychological first aid. We're taking care of one another as we try to do our best to take care of the people here in West.
And as you talk about the theme of I'm going to say it editorially, how great Texans are, you've already noticed in the better part of 48 hours since this occurred, just how willing those around the state, if not around the country, have offered their assistance, even to the point where there's no place to put the tangible items. And so that's being discouraged, and that just kind of leads into a reminder that Red Cross always collects funding for these types of events.
Well, and that's, we're really all in it together. So, you know, when a tornado hits in Mississippi, the money that you give goes to help them, and it helps your neighbors here in West or, you know, anywhere in the United States where we have natural disasters. You know, I would encourage people also to realize this is a very long-term situation. You know, we're just in the earliest phases of it, and it's going to take a long time for people to rebuild, and the needs that people have will change as time goes on. So for those people who want to give, whether you decide to give to somebody like the Red Cross, which we always appreciate, or one of our partners, you know, but keep an eye on things that will develop in this community as time goes on, because there could be very special needs that will come along, and you may be able to help in a way that you don't even realize yet.
Anything that I missed that needs to be communicated to listeners in Bryan College Station?
We just appreciate all of the support from people in the area, from all around Texas and all around the U.S. The people of West appreciate it. You walk off an elevator or out of a door at a restaurant as you've kind of gotten away from the day-to-day, and somebody will see you with your Red Cross gear on. Let's just say thank you. And nothing is a bigger payoff than a thank you.